Good evening and welcome to the Disney Discord podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Graham. Tonight I'm joined by
Bernardo from the Main Street News.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you very much.
It's been a little while since we've done one of these, hasn't it?
It's been a good while, like almost a month now, so I'm glad to be back.
And what show we have tonight? We have several things we want to kick off on. So the first one's probably the Walt Disney Studios. You've got some fascinating updates there, don't you?
Fascinating updates. Construction walls everywhere. So you walk into the park and the first thing you see is construction walls. The most exciting thing that has happened to that park for a while. So there's that.
And what is that going to look like? I don't think we've covered that in a little while. What are we expecting?
Yeah, so the construction walls have started popping up, and they have started the works on removing a lot of the stuff that used to be there, from trees to the statue, the partner statue with Walt and Mickey. That's gone. And
I've seen a lot of people are actually upset about that.
Yeah, that's right. And the construction itself should start, you know, I think it's this month already, so that's actually interesting and very excited to see how that will progress over the time. And
well, Disneyland Paris have put a warning on their website now, obviously following previous traumas when people have been exposed to large-scale works, that this is going to go on till, I think it said, summer 2025.
Yes, that's right. So
big refurb, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a huge refurb. So if you're planning a Disney trip in the next year and a half or almost 2 years, just be aware, a lot of construction in both Walt Disney Studios Park and in Village as well, which that will be later on. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've seen in the Village that there's progress being made with Restaurant Rosalie is almost there. And secondly, we've now got the first new addition that nobody even knew was coming, which is Lagrange has been taken and expanded into Billy Bob's Buffet, which is now the ground floor version of Lagrange.
That's right. You know, I do think that's temporary, though, so it won't be there forever, but it's a great addition because Lagrange is, you know, as you've said quite a few times, a great restaurant, and I just tried it the first time, the last time I was there, and it is indeed a very good restaurant. So I'm glad more people can enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I just didn't see that coming, to be totally honest. I didn't, like, there was no noise about it. There was no rumors about it. It makes a lot of sense. So for anybody who's joining us maybe for the first time, Lagrange was a buffet that got added after the success of the Buffalo Bill's Wild West show. And basically, the food that was served in the show was very, very much similar to the food that was being served in the buffet. But this allowed them, rather than, you know, having staff to cook for one show and then out for 2 hours and then come back for the second show, it was very much the restaurant could just keep everything, you know, hot and could keep serving the food. And obviously, they didn't know how many people would attend each night's show, so it allowed them to do clever things where if food was going to go to waste, otherwise it could be in the buffet restaurant rather than just being, you know, discarded. So it was always... Yeah. It was always quite clever how the bar restaurant, which now doesn't exist, which was the Billy Bob's, it used to do certain food snacks on the first floor. It now no longer does. That's now been changed. I believe Lagrange now encompasses the whole of the top floor, the first floor, and it now has a ground floor. Like, it's mega in size compared to what it was. And then you've got the ground floor seems to be a massive spike in capacity. And from what everybody's been saying, it's very nicely themed. It's well done. It does make me wonder if they're maybe going to take it off the top floor. I don't actually know what they're going to do, but
I wouldn't bet on that.
No,
I do think they've expanded on it. So I think it should remain like that unless they want to give Billy Bob's more space. But I don't think that's going to happen, to be honest.
Well, you never know. So we've got that, which is kind of funny because everybody expected Restaurant Rosalie was going to be the very first addition to the new Disney Village, and then the buffet at Billy Bob's, which is Lagrange, but now named what everybody called it anyway. Everybody used to call it the Billy Bob's buffet, but the truth was it was never called Billy Bob's. Billy Bob's was the bar that's downstairs from Lagrange. Now they've named it the Billy Bob's buffet. They've just given in. The fans have won out over Disneyland Paris, and it has quickly become the first new restaurant off the village. So that's some celebration because it's some progress that we just didn't expect, but actually ended up happening. And then it
Yeah,
should be
and
followed shortly. Like
yeah,
Rosalie
by
is due to open soon,
Rosalie.
isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's in December, so it's very soon.
Yeah, so Rosalie is due to open, and then I believe we've had the news that we covered last time on the McDonald's has been moved and a new location's been built. I think the McDonald's are building the whole new location and then closing the old one, so there
Yes,
shouldn't be an
that's what's happening.
there's no interruption there. And that's the first kind of big changes we've got happening in the village, which will then translate into the start of that. We've got the start of the Walt Disney Studios, which is obviously just a lot of walls, and then we've got the end phase. Believe it or not, people, we actually have an end phase coming up, and
Wow.
that's for the security gate. They are nearly finished in the main plaza, and then I think they're doing the final bit, which is renewing the gates on Avenue Paul Serame. Which, if you don't know where we are, it's the second bus park behind the Newport Bay where Five Guys and Vapiano are.
That whole
And I
area.
think, and that they're taking the tents away from there, aren't they? And they're building like a nice little canopy.
Yeah, I think so. I think that was confirmed a while back, so that's awesome. I hate that those tents. I want to
Yeah,
see
the
them
tents.
gone.
Yeah. Of course, in true Disneyland Paris style, about a week after they've finished that, they will immediately tear it all down and start again. So, make no mistake. Now that the travelators are working from the car park and everything again, make no mistake, it will all be torn down and replaced very quickly. I think, did we not see as well Annette's is due an overhaul? Annette's is getting some sort of refurbishment or change. I think I've seen that on one of the forums that I'm on. Their cast and things have been showing some artwork, although I've never been able to find this artwork off it being updated. I don't think it's going to change concept. Like, I think Disneyland Paris really like the Nets. It's always very busy. People enjoy it. But I think they're going to modernize the sort of horrible exterior it's got. You know that it's got those neon lights that break quite often.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. So, Disney Village, Walt Disney Studios, Disneyland Park and the Disneyland Hotel's getting, much closer to opening. What is it, January 25th it
Yeah,
opens?
January. Is it 25th? Yeah, I think it's. I know it's in
Yeah.
January. I'm not sure
I'm sure
which
it's the
date
25th.
exactly, but yeah, that's getting very close. And then there's Sequoia Lodge, who has seemingly confirmed their works as well.
Yeah.
A
Sequoia
firm
Lodge, though,
has pretty
we
much.
don't think it's going to shut fully, do we?
Yeah, no, I don't think they can. It just has a
Yeah.
lot of rooms. It's 1,000 and a and something rooms. That's just a lot. They can't close it everything. So I think they'll go, they may start with the lodges maybe, and then just go floor to floor, renovate the rooms and the hallways, and I don't think
Yeah.
they can't close everything down. It just can't.
Yeah, I mean, it has the benefit. I mean, it does have the benefit. The Sequoia Lodge is very good in the sense that you can renovate the individual. There's, what is it? It's like the main building, and then what is it? Is it six or three? Or I forget the number. I've not seen the Sequoia Lodge for
The
ages.
lodges, I think it, I don't know. I think it's six,
It's,
maybe.
yeah, so you've got the, actually going to check while we're here just so we can get it accurate because
Yeah,
I've
go
not,
ahead.
it is six, it is six. So one of them's a swimming pool. So that one, obviously, they can refurb that at their leisure because they can divert people to the other pools. That's not a problem. They have then five remaining lodges. It's very easy to do them individually because, you just take a lodge offline, you upgrade it, and then you present it back.
Pretty easy, yeah.
It's done. It's not, that takes 10 minutes. That's not hard in the slightest. The main building is a bit more complex. However, the Sequoia Lodge is lucky in the sense that the hotel is obviously split left and right and then has their sort of concourse. Mm-hmm. And you can treat them like the right and the left could be treated as completely separate buildings. So it can be isolated off very easily, and you can do half the hotel without disturbing the other half of the hotel. And then, you know, you swap, and then you've only got the main building, which is probably the bit that I don't know what they're going to do, because I imagine they're going to want to refurbish the inside of the bar this time and possibly the restaurants. The restaurants are a wee bit easy because there's two of them. The bar might be a bit harder because a lot of people, I mean, the Sequoia Lodge bar is probably the best bar on property. So,
yeah, and that whole area, it's just so well done, super cozy. I really like the Sequoia Lodge. I mean, we did run a poll here in the Discord, and I think Sequoia Lodge won the best hotel, right?
It did, yeah. Yeah, it did.
Yeah. People so, just like that hotel.
And I mean, that's before the refurb. That's before. I mean, it did have a. I mean, it's worth us noting the Sequoia Lodge actually did have a refurb in the last like 10 years. It wasn't an intensive refurb. They redone the room sort of decor and stuff. But it's not like the Sequoia Lodge is a battered old hotel that is in desperate need. Yeah. I mean, it is a little bit dated. And to be fair, it's going to need some things like, you know, USB charging and stuff that's common in Disney now. But
yeah.
You know,
yeah, it has. There's some works that need to happen, but it's not going to be like complete remake of the hotel. So, yeah, it should be quite easy and fast to do.
Yeah, I would. It's not. This isn't like the
Disneyland
like
hotel.
The Disneyland hotel. For example, we're not ripping. It's not getting ripped from seam to seam to to redo it. So
yeah.
And we thought, what was it we thought was going to happen? That the Sequoia Lodge would probably bump. Well, I thought it was going to bump from a 3 to a 4, but you seem to doubt that.
Yeah. I do think that it should stay as a 3-star hotel for now. For now, at least. Because if it didn't, you'd just have Cheyenne. So that, you know, I mean, I could be wrong. They could want to upgrade that hotel to 4 stars and have the lake, all the lake hotels as 4 stars, and then maybe, as you said, maybe, you know, give a little push to New York and have that a 5-star as well as Disneyland.
Well, I've just booked.
For now, I don't know.
I've just booked for January, so we're going for the drone show in January. And
oh, where are you staying?
I'm staying in Sequoia Lodge.
Oh, wow.
So I'll get to see it before it goes down for a refurb. So staying in Sequoia Lodge, and one of the interesting things is Sequoia Lodge was actually cheaper than the Cheyenne, which I thought was fascinating. Yeah. But what I do know is Disney sells a lot of the Cheyenne rooms and the Santa Fe rooms to tour operators like TUI and Magic Breaks and, you know, people like that. They sell a lot of those rooms to those sort of travel agents, so they might have not had a lot of their own inventory to sell me.
Yeah.
Although in January, it seems unlikely.
Yeah, exactly. In January, I don't know, actually. That's
either
pretty
that
odd.
Or they just don't. Either that or they just don't want to service those. You know, like when it's quiet, they want to go down to a skeleton staff, and if they can keep the Santa Fe and the Cheyenne kind of empty.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
You know,
yeah.
It could be that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Really interesting.
So it was cheaper, and I did notice the hotel in New York is significantly cheaper than it was this time last year.
Yes, so I noticed that a lot. That I think that has a lot to do with the offerings over at Disneyland Hotel.
Yeah,
because it's New York won't longer be the the best hotel in town. So it makes sense to give those prices a little, you know, just maybe a bit small,
because they were
they were very expensive.
You were paying for some days. I remember looking because I thought I'd really like to stay there, but for like 4 days, I think, or 5 days and 4 nights, I think it was in excess of like £2,500. I was like, you can literally go to Florida for this. Like this is a, do you know what I mean? Like a flight across the Atlantic week holiday. It was the same price.
It's crazy. Now,
admittedly, though, that was staying in one of Disney's most premium hotels, and in the world, but very expensive hotel. And that was something like January, February, or March, because I don't typically go the middle of summer because it's too, it was expensive for that. So we are going to the Sequoia. And this time I've added on, I don't have my annual pass. So my annual pass expired. And despite me telling everybody on this podcast, don't you worry, I'll be renewing that annual pass at the new price. And you'll remember this, I did tell you I was going to do that.
And so that's however, a no now.
Well, it's a no, because I priced it up. And I looked at the cost of staying in the Sequoia, which I really like, versus staying in the High Park, which is in Val d'Europe. And I still like Val d'Europe, I still like the High Park. But the price was actually very similar by the time you added on. And I thought, well, if I get an annual pass, I'd need to go for almost a third trip to make it worth it.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's not to say I wouldn't have, but it just, and then the problem is you order the annual pass and it's live from when you order the annual pass, not from the first use. So I'd have lost, I would have lost time on that. And I didn't want to risk that I couldn't get a booking for the 8th so I could see the new drone show. And I know people will laugh and think, of course you're going to get, you know, access in January, but this is a real thing. Like it, you know, Disneyland Paris are talking about the Main Street Electrical Parade and a drone show. I can only imagine that is a busy day in the park.
I think so.
And then I didn't take more advice again. I'm actually on the meal plan.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
But it was such a good deal. Like it was, I think I'm going like 4 or 5 days. I can't remember. It's like 5 days, 4 nights or something. And it honestly was like £500 for two people.
Oh yeah,
for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I was like,
"That's a deal."
I was like, "That's not
a great deal."
Like, I mean, what is that? Like £500. I'm gonna do the math live just so we can do it. So 500 divided by two people, divided by it's 4 days. I'm sure. Let's just do it on that basis. So it's £62 a day divided by. Let's go with two meals because breakfast hardly counts. So it'd be like £31 a meal. Now we're booked into Lagrange, which would cost you £38, I think. We're into Downtown, which would cost you £45 each. So I mean, even if we just do those, we've booked Pimm's, we've booked Downtown, we've booked Lagrange, we've booked, you know, we can use them at Nets if we want. Like it just seemed like such a good deal. It was now. It's now worth doing.
That's actually pretty smart. I never consider getting the meal plan.
Well, neither do I. And the other problem is I will not be able to eat as much as I bought, if that makes sense. Because I'm almost now going to be going to these restaurants, these buffets, and these other, you know, these table service restaurants that, to be totally honest, I'm probably not as hungry. Like, normally we would eat one big meal a day and then probably have sort of snacky stuff.
Yeah.
Or maybe McDonald's or something. So I'm well aware that this probably wasn't the best idea, but a little tip for people, if you are going and you enjoy the peace of mind, everything's paid off, the meal plan finally seems to be an actual deal again.
That's great. So, honestly, that's really good.
It shows Disneyland Paris have listened, though, because we used to give the advice not to take the meal plan because it was so much cheaper to just have an annual pass and you got a bigger discount than you got in the meal plan. But I think they've obviously been listening to us and have worked out
I think what they've done is they've raised the prices of the food and not a lot of the price of the meal plan. So you're, you know, the meal plan is the same deal. You're just paying more for the normal version. It's more.
It does explain, like, though. Beyond. It does explain, though, when they talk about you know, sales and income and stuff on the the quarterly finance calls. It now makes sense that Disneyland Paris is massively up in revenue because I reckon that they've worked out that actually, you know, people will buy into these deals and they've started to get higher take up on site because they're actually for once relatively competitive. Like there was only something, I think in total there was only an £80 difference between us staying in the Sequoia Lodge and staying in the High Park.
Yeah, but you got to consider that that's in a supposedly low season. If you go over the summer, the price difference is pretty considerable.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but yeah, it's true. So
it's working in low season for them because I've been in January most years for the last 5 years, and I've never once stayed on site.
Well, so you will.
No, well, it's always worth having a look, I guess. Now, before we get stuck ranting on about hotel pricing and meal plans, because that's where I will get stuck, we have the reason I'm going in January, which is for Disney's wonderful Symphony of Colours, which Disneyland Paris is introducing on the night of the 8th of January. It was completely out of the blue. Nobody knew that they were going to drop this on the park. And it lasts until September, which is just incredible for a pre-show for Disneyland Paris to even have an end date already. And they're promising the Disney Symphony of Colours is the... Well, it hints at being a drone show in the sky. It's a night parade. It features the LED lights in the castle. It features drones in the sky. It features apparently influences from the Main Street Electrical Parade, and we're promised that it has a wonderful new sort of soundtrack to go along with it. So it's not just the original Baroque hoedown from the original Main Street Electrical Parade. I don't know if it's going to be the Paint the Night version, because there's obviously the Owl City Paint the Night version of Baroque Hoedown. So I'm unsure if it's going to be that.
It's interesting. I do think they'll keep to mostly the Main Street Electrical Parade tunes, because if you get rid of that, there's not a lot of Main Street Electrical Parade, because that's drones, you know? So I would assume that the music stays around what you'd expect from Electrical Parade. Another thing that's interesting is that in the artwork, they showcase in the castle the LED, turrets, which is something that's currently not installed.
No, they are. They're there again.
They are?
Yes,
really?
they are. Since the when? Turrets are back. The turrets came back last week. Hang on, let me double
really?
Check. But the turrets are back.
I did not see anything of sorts.
Yeah, the turrets have come back. The LED turrets have come back.
I mean,
which we knew was going to happen. They told us it was going to happen. They were getting skates or something, so they stopped scratching the roof.
Yeah. So, well, there's that. Makes sense to have them back because they're gonna be used in the Christmas season, just like last year, or at least the promotional images show that. And if they've been installed where, then there's that. I completely missed that though.
I'm now. I definitely seen this. I definitely seen it because there's a video. There's a video of them in testing. It's not during Dreams, but it's they've got them like running in the evening.
Oh, so, I did send a video to the Discord from last year.
I wonder if I've picked it. Could have just watched your video.
Yeah. And I think it was in the evening as well.
I don't always pay attention. I've probably watched your video and been like, oh, look, there they are, they're back. But no, they're definitely in the artwork. They're 100% in the artwork.
Yeah, they're in the artwork, yeah. Yeah,
so they're 100%. Coming back. Like, they installed them last time in about 2 days.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty quick to install and shouldn't be a lot of trouble. But I do think they've installed it last year. It was around this time. So if they're not there yet, they should be getting, ready as we speak. Because when's Christmas time starting?
Like 18, it's like the 18th or something. Hang on, let me have a look. 13th or 20th. It might be the
20th
of November, I'm sure it is. So...
Okay, so I mean it's starting soon-ish.
Yeah.
So they kind of need those to be installed.
Yeah, because we have Dreams until at least April. Well, we've got a version of Dreams. I think we're getting Christmas Dreams. You get Disney Dreams at Christmas, and then you get Dreams
we haven't seen anything about Dreams of Christmas. So
no, some people, it always is, though.
You know, I did see a tweet from Pixie Dust that said that there's no plans on bringing Dreams of Christmas back this year, which is odd.
That, since it's programmed, it wouldn't make any sense, would it? Oh, it's from the 11th. So it's the 11th. Christmas is the 11th of November. Christmas like nowhere else. Blah, blah, blah. Stars lit up. Christmas season. The train's back. The Christmas tree lit. It's snow. Oh, no, there isn't. There is genuinely nothing about fire there. Well, that's poor.
Look, that's a tweet. Disney Dreams of Christmas will not return for the 2023 holiday season. In the database with the showtimes, we see that Disney Dreams will continue to play and will not switch to Disney Dreams of Christmas. So that's pretty odd.
But they've got like three versions of Disney Dreams of Christmas. Like they have they even have the original Disney Dreams of Christmas, which was literally just dreams but with a nutcracker thing rammed through it. I don't understand. Well, it was literally the same fireworks and the same lights. Like, it would cost nothing.
I'm not sure why.
They'll probably do it anyway. Just it's Disneyland Paris. They'll announce it on a random Tuesday.
It's 100% likely that that will happen, so...
Or...
Yeah, but for now...
Either that, or we're getting a festive drone show that they've not announced.
Ooh, that would be nice. That would be very nice. You know, Jonas has just showed, I think it was a couple of days ago, a big Santa in the sky with drones and said, look, we can do Christmas stuff as well, or something like that. So, it could very well be true.
There's no way they're not going to do a Christmas thing this year. That said, nobody ever liked their Christmas show as much as Dreams, so you never know.
Yeah, exactly, you do have the Christmas parade, which works during both the time, during daytime and nighttime, with a lot of lights and stuff. So maybe they've switched up their. I don't know. It's just strange that we're not see Disney Dreams of Christmas mentioned anywhere. So.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. I believe we've got Dreams. I think that's now. That's been sort of ticketed in to be lasting all the way through to April. So that takes away some of the worry that people had that there wasn't going to be a fireworks show. And then what else did we have? The Pixar thing.
The Pixar was...
That stops tomorrow, doesn't it? Yeah, it's tomorrow it stops. It stops for like the Together Pixar musical adventure. So it stops tomorrow, and it's back mid December or something.
Yeah, so, I think so.
And that, from what I understand, is they've got some theater maintenance. They're maybe just going to install the big missing bit that they forgot, which is, you know, the entire decoration of the theater.
I love that they showed a fantastic,
majestic theater.
It was just a hole in the wall.
I couldn't quite be bothered. So yeah, we've got that. There is, of course, there was no bookable special event for Halloween or New Year. However, much like we've seen on Halloween, Disneyland Paris are much happier at having bespoke shows on the special nights now, so you don't even need to pay and you get a special fireworks show.
It's true.
And I think New Year will be the same as well. I think we've seen the New Year show, obviously, and it's quite a bit. What was it? Was it not Disney? Was it not Wishes? Like some
what?
What was it? The New Year show? Yeah. Was it not Wishes last year?
Last year it was Wishes with some projections and a huge lot of fireworks.
Yeah, so I think that'll be the same again this year.
It was quite fantastic. Yeah, I think so too. And then there's, talking about huge fireworks, there's tomorrow the first, what's it called? It's Disney, Magic Over Disney.
The Bonfire Night ones, yeah.
Yeah, the Bonfire. Yeah, so this time it's on Disneyland Park and not over Studios and Tower of Terror. So I wonder if they're bringing back those big fireworks, because they did Mickey's Mix Magic from California in 2021.
They did.
Which had huge fireworks. And then last year they didn't do huge fireworks, and it was over at Studios. Also yeah. Mickey's Mix Magic. So that'll be interesting to see, because if it's the show from 2021, I might book a trip in January to go see because in January there's 3 dates, I believe. If that's the yeah, show, there is. I mean, it's pretty impressive, and I wouldn't mind seeing that.
It's so odd they do it only for 3 days, though.
Yeah, it's really strange. It's like, why do they do these shows? It's like to attract more people in during the yeah, these. I think
obviously, because it's quiet, they want to grab people in, but it's such an odd thing to do. Oh, we'll have a tiny little show for a tiny little amount of time.
They don't market it. It's just so strange.
It's Disney.
They don't market the damn thing as well, so yeah. Well,
while we're talking about new shows, we would be remiss if we didn't mention that we have, what is it, Luminous at Epcot.
Yes. Luminous, the Symphony of Us.
Yeah, and it's been quite downplayed. Like, Disney have not said very much about it other than it's got quite an epic score to it.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen, I mean, they got rid of the very expensive barges that they spent tens of millions of pounds on before. They got rid of all them and, you know, pulped them all so that they could build more really, really expensive looking barges.
But these are smaller. They don't obstruct the view. So there's that.
And they can wheel those. These ones get wheeled in and out each day.
Yeah, there's that as well.
So we've got Luminous, which is coming, which, as I understand it, is not Reflections of Earth, but is very much like Reflections of Earth in the sort of tone it takes.
Mm-hmm. So it's not... It does have a lot of Disney music. So
yeah.
If I had to, you know, to kind of describe how it's going to be, I would maybe say it's like a mix of Reflections. Not Reflections, what's the name? Was it Illuminations?
You mean the one that followed it?
No, Harmonious. Illuminations. Reflections of Earth.
Yeah, Illuminations, Reflections of Earth was the show. Yeah.
Well, it's like a baby of Illuminations and Harmonious. That's how I'm viewing it, maybe. I could be wrong.
That's what Epcot Forever is as well, though. And Epcot Forever is dreadful.
Is it?
I was actually at the world premiere at Epcot Forever. I got to see it on its very first night. And
funny
I was
thing
looking...
is that people really like that show compared to Harmonious.
I didn't. Harmonious was okay, but
I liked Harmonious. I really
I didn't
did.
Mind it. Yeah.
I mean, it was a fun show filled with fun music.
What I did like about it is it got us the glow up ball. It got us the dome now glows. That was quite cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like they've kept that.
Yeah, that's true.
I like that. That's a snazzy bit. Journey of Water opened at Epcot while we're on the topic as well. It looks terribly non-thrilling. I'm sure people will be overjoyed about it though. I think the cost of it was something ridiculous, like $25 million or something. I think how did you make a rock pool for $25 million? Like, how is that? I mean, the original Disneyland opened for less than $25 million. Like, and nowadays you can build a rock pool with like a green huge Moana thing, like whatever.
Yeah.
It just
like, it's harder to spend that much money on it than to spend a lesser amount. How?
It just seems... But then the whole Ratatouille expansion at Disneyland Paris was rumoured at $250 million. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, how? Yeah. It's basically...
I mean, to be honest, they did have to develop the trackless system and whatever, alongside with Hong Kong. I'm sure Disneyland Paris had all...
We could have got Cars Land.
Well, yeah.
Same price.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
Cars Land has multiple attractions, multiple restaurants. It has a beautiful strip. It has basically a better version of Test Track. Like, again, it makes no sense how they waste this money. However, we believe, so you've got, in Disneyland Paris, you've got Symphony Colors, and in Epcot, you've got Luminous Symphony of Us or something. Is that right? Symphony of something.
Symphony of Us.
Yeah, Symphony of Us. And yeah, the colours and everything look very similar. So I'm going to imagine that once again, Disney are going to strike and there's going to be some overlap. Not probably in the show. I think the show might be separate, but I think the music or something is going to be similar. Yeah. And the reason I say that, here's the reason I say that. Disneyland Paris, whenever it does a show, like when it done Festival, not Festival Lion King, the Lion King show, I forget what its damn name is, but the Lion King show. And the
Rhythms of the Pride Earth? Rhythms of the Pride Lands?
Pride Lands, that's it. Rhythms of the Pride Lands. And when it done the Marvel show, the Stumptacular. Yeah,
Summer of Superheroes.
When they done all that, the music was recorded at Abbey Road Studios in the UK. And they do that, you know, like normally Disneyland Paris for all its music. And they recorded for Luminous, they recorded the soundtrack at the Glasgow Royal Concert. And then it was edited in Abbey Road Studios. Which just makes me think that seems like a Disneyland Paris. And as we know, I'm going to be controversial here, Disneyland Paris's musical accompaniments are usually up there with some of the best in the world, like Ready for the Ride and...
That wasn't controversial at all.
Fantillusion, Main Street Electrical Parade was technically, most of it was recorded in the UK as well. So you've got I mean, that was originally for the American parks, but was recorded in the UK. And this. And I think that this is probably a likelihood that the Disneyland Paris show has been recorded. And it's probably sharing some of the Epcot stuff.
Really good insight. They released the Epcot music, or a part of it, and it did sound pretty spectacular, so I wouldn't... mind having it at Disneyland Paris as well.
Yeah. So I think we're going to get that. I'll be interested because they say it's a new twist on the Main Street Electrical Parade music, which kind of, it'll be Baroque Codown, obviously, but what version of Baroque Codown we're going to get is going to be terribly interesting, I think. So we've got that. One more piece of insight I've got. The drone show is designed on computer, as we've known for ages. However, when they test the show, to make sure guests can't just take photos from the balcony of like hotel rooms and stuff, they sometimes do it across at the drone company's big field where they practice. However, in Disneyland Paris, they can turn the drones to infrared mode and can wear infrared glasses to view the show as it's in the sky. And unless, obviously, you were wearing infrared glasses... you wouldn't be able to see it either.
That's pretty spectacular. Next time I'm going, I need to bring some infrared glasses, just in case.
Well, I know, we're just walking along and having a look up. But how cool is that? That they can actually test a show that you can't even see.
That's spectacular. Because they're using
outside your spectrum. That's clever. It's clever. It was one of the marketing videos was like, we can do it, you know, like you can test your New Year's Eve party or something without anybody seeing it. and save your surprise, we use infrared technology to show you your show before it goes live. And I was like, wow, that's so cool.
That's honestly amazing.
We had that. And then, what else have we had? I've got the video just on here.
Go over. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, and Pixar Together was also recorded in the UK.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There is some big Disney news, actually. They're going to buy Hulu.
Yes, that's right.
We've known, I mean, it's not a secret, because everybody knew that anyway. They had the option to buy it. And then the it's not, I mean, a lot of people are talking about a final, it's not the base price.
Yes, so that's the minimum they're going to pay, which is fantastic. How much was it? Yeah. Was it like eight billion?
Yeah, 8 billion.
Yes.
I mean, that said, Hulu does have a catalog of shows. Like, Hulu's not, you know, Hulu's pretty good.
They're going to buy Comcast share, which is 33%, right? Yeah. I think that's it. And that's pretty interesting because, you know, a lot of people have been talking about Hulu and stuff. And, you know, I personally haven't paid a lot of attention to that whole conversation. But it appears Disney is interested in buying that. And they're possibly going to buy that by selling a lot of their stuff in India, which is also interesting. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot of businesses in India with Hotstar, which is their kind of Disney Plus merger strange thing. I think that I saw some piece of news that said that a lot of those companies and a lot of those things are going to be sold off by Disney. So maybe they could buy Hulu by selling off those parts of the company they don't really need.
Yeah.
Which is the restructure that Bob Iger has been talking about since the first moment he set foot in the company again.
Well, one of the biggest problems Disney have had is obviously turning profit on streaming. So, you know, by taking Hulu in-house. Yeah, everyone.
All of the new streamings have had that problem.
So yeah. one of the cool things, I mean, the Americans are probably in for the biggest shock. I mean, we already know how this go. So, I mean, if you're in Europe, you've already seen what Star looks like in Europe. So,
Europe Star and Latin America. I think Latin America also has them. So it's just North America and some other countries, maybe in Asia.
It is incredible that you can have, you know, you can have Mickey Mouse's Clubhouse on the same screen as 50 Shades of Grey. Like, there is something somewhat spectacular that you can have Mickey Mouse's Clubhouse, you know, listed with 50 Shades Darker or whatever it was. It was incredible. And then obviously Dana Scully from The X-Files is also now a Disney princess, obviously. So, you know. But this brings me on, though. These things are coming in-house because, I mean, X-Files was Fox. But once they get Hulu and they can sort of put it on the US Disney Plus as well. This is one of the interesting things that I think we're going to see, that Disney will then have a solid answer to Universal, sort of like Halloween Horror Nights. Like, they could tell, couldn't maybe do it in the Magic Kingdom. I think Mickey's Scary Halloween Party is going to rain.
Yeah, maybe in the studios.
But in the studios and stuff, both in the US and in Paris, you'll be able to have things like the X, which will be an actual Disney content.
Yeah. That's actually pretty interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
And people say it's quite odd because, of course, why would they put the X-Files in a Disney park? But then I think to myself, we've got the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. Like, the X-Files is a lot more relevant than that. So you've got... some of this content could be fascinating for, you know, the parks. Because you know, the X-Files would give you a whole scary dimension that I don't think we've had before. And when they say they're going to lean into their IP, I think that we might be seeing some more IP that maybe we've not thought of before. So
yeah, for sure.
I'm personally quite excited by the idea that we might actually get, you know, I'd rather have some original stuff, but if we're not going to get it, it would be cool to see some IPs that maybe we've never considered as Disney IPs before, and we'll get to see some of the 20th century stuff make a little bit of an appearance in the parks.
Yeah, that brings us back to exactly that. So what IPs, what Fox IPs could Disney use to build their theme parks?
I mean, I'm glad you asked that question because that's what I was loading in the background while you were thinking it up. So they've got Family Guy, Cleveland. They've got the Cleveland Show. They've got American Dad, The Simpsons. They've got 24. They've got Grey's Anatomy, Glee, Scrubs, The X-Files.
Mm-hmm.
Like, tell me that Glee doesn't make sense in a Disney park. Do you know what I mean? Like, you could totally have a Glee show, you could totally Futurama, The Simpsons.
You know what? Just thinking about these possibilities...
Percy Jackson.
It just pops in my head, the Michael Eisner era of Disney. You had ETX, wasn't it? What the extra, what's with the name of the horror show in the Magic Kingdom?
Oh yeah, Alien Encounter.
Alien Encounter. You know, that was pretty hardcore, especially for Disney. So that just...
And keep in mind, when people say this won't happen, or you can't imagine like Planet of the Apes in Disney, keep in mind that people used to say that about Pandora and the Avatar movies. Avatar is 100%, you know, is 100% from Fox.
Yeah.
So I think we're in for an interesting time. I noticed Dan in the comments says Disney will not organise scary Halloween like Christmas, like Universal in the USA. I'm not so convinced because they sell out every Halloween. Yeah, they sell out every Halloween party.
And also Halloween, more scary money. Halloween parties. You know, in the USA, I don't think they've had a lot of those. But in Paris, they used to have the studio's Terrorific Nights, which was...
and everybody left. Nearly dead.
Yeah. Hong Kong used to have a very hardcore party with, you know, zombie Disney characters that was pretty scary. You know, we had like a zombie Pinocchio Frankenstein mashup of pretty. Yeah. So
Disneyland Paris had that daft. Remember when they put that big phantom thing on the front of the Molly Brown?
Yeah, that was pretty pretty fun. I'm not sure why they've never done that again, but well.
So occasionally Disneyland Paris do lose the plot and just go off and do their own thing. They do. I mean, they do it.
I mean, to be honest, Disney Village and their characters, that's up there with the Terrorific Nights. Those things are scary. I don't know why those things even exist, but they do. I would be glad if they didn't.
Yeah. But that's what we're hurtling towards. They have new IPs that they can play with. And then
lots of possibilities.
They'll probably shut Hulu down and Hulu will become part of the Disney Plus app, either as a tile or... I don't think they're going to rename Star for us. I think Hulu's just going to appear under Star for us.
Yeah.
I mean, Hulu's a big brand in the Americas, but it's not... Hulu's almost unknown here.
Oh yeah, 100%.
So I can't. I mean, not that Star was particularly well known.
Yeah, that's also a good point. So they could change it, and not a lot of people would, you know, exactly see a big difference.
Yeah.
So both situations could happen, to be honest.
Yeah, I can't imagine them rebranding us to Hulu. It just doesn't seem. Launch a new brand that isn't really anything to do with Disney. And then we just got... The only reason we got Star is because the Asian countries already had Hotstar. And they were kind of we'll call it Star everywhere else, which made some sense, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it does.
You also, they could tier it. Like, there's possibility that you could have, like, Disney's core tier, and then you add on, like, the general entertainment tier, which is your Star/Hulu package, and then add on sports at the back end. Who
that
knows?
Could also
that is Disney. They're wild. The fact that we're still not, like, we've launched Disney Plus, and the fact that Disney hotels still do not have Disney Plus as the only option on the TV still shocks me to my core.
Yeah. I do think that New York already does.
Yeah, it's just not
turned on. Could be wrong. Yeah, it's just dumb.
The other thing I wanted to bring up is I think the Disneyland Paris app has been secretly canned.
What do you mean?
Well, if you look at how often they used to update it and how often we used to get big new features, and then have a look at how many updates we've had and how many big new features we've had recently, I think they've just decided the app was that dreadful. We're going to move to like using the rebranded version of the global app.
Well, I would be 100% glad if that happened. You know, I think they 100% should do that. The Disney World app and Disneyland and Hong Kong Disneyland, they're the same base. They're just adapted into the resort it's in. They should just do that with Disneyland Paris. You know, just spend a little more money, and it's worth it because it works. You know, we know it works. They know it works, and you don't have to log in every 15 minutes when you want to see if you can book a restaurant. It's
Somebody said that was fixed. Awful. It is not. It is.
Yeah,
not.
It's not fixed.
It's slightly better.
The app doesn't log you off, but when you want to try and book, you know, a restaurant, it just loads a new page, which you need to log in there as well. So there are times you need to log in two times to check if there's a table. It's just awful. It's absolutely awful.
So I think there's possibly movement there, because we used to get about a feature every quarter, and we've now gone about. Now, they brought out Ticket Linking. However, they've brought out Ticket Linking about four times, and it's still never worked properly. So, do you know what really annoyed me? When I booked to Sequoia Lodge and I booked through Disney, they sent me a link and said, here, add this to your app. And the physical code on it didn't work for about 4 days.
Wow. So it just doesn't work.
It infuriated me that I knew the booking. They had already given me the code, so they knew what my booking was. And for about 4 days, it didn't actually.
Oh, well.
Poor.
And that's, me up.
It's fine for me who's going in January, but imagine you were going like next week and it didn't work for 4 days.
Yeah.
Like, that just tells me. That just tells me that somebody manually has to copy the bookings across.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
So.
And when you have such an amazing app in every other resort, just copy the damn thing here. Well, I mean, there's a lot of systems background that would need to be upgraded as well. But just do it. Come on.
It's not like that hard. It's
spend
time.
A little money on that.
It's time.
And then you can bring on the magic bands, and that will pay off all that money that needs to be invested in like a week.
I wondered when they rolled out the new annual passes and they got rid of things like privilege tickets and stuff. Mm-hmm. I wondered if the reason they done that is not so that they can get rid of all the sort of Paris-specific stuff so that they can then get on with just moving to the global solution.
The My Disney Experience.
If you look at all the things that we lost, now, of course, people are going to say, oh, we lost them because they don't generate money or whatnot. But it does look like they got rid of all the Paris-specific stuff.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
So if you consider they got rid of all the Paris-specific stuff, the main reason for that, I would think, would be to have some sort of unity with the ticketing system. Mm-hmm. And other people say that Disneyland and Disney World run the same system, but that's not true. Disneyland doesn't run on the same system as Disney World. Disneyland runs on Galaxy. So,
yeah.
I mean, Walt Disney World does run on its own system, but so it does Walt show Disney that...
Isn't Walt Disney World... I mean, that they both have the My Disney Experience app, right?
Yeah, but slightly different ones built on the same app. So
the guest-facing parts of the system are pretty much the same.
Yeah.
So just do that here.
I don't know if they ever fixed it so you could use a magic band in both. Because as I understand it, the magic bands at Disneyland don't work at Disney World, and the Disney World one at Disneyland. I think they're different magic bands.
I think you can use both, but you need to
unpair and repair.
No, just pair them to both, both systems. And I think you can have both at the same time. It does need to be the new Magic Bands, the version
the plus
fourth version, the plus version. That's it. So because that's the only one Disneyland has. But other than that, I think it's pretty much the same.
Yeah. So it's taking us what?
Just bring them here. Come on.
You know, it took forever, didn't it? It just took forever. Yeah. So hopefully we see some movement there. And then, of course, everybody's getting a bit warmed up now about the money that's being spent or the overhaul that's coming in. There's not much news there, though, other than it's progressing. I don't think we've got anything new to share, do we?
I mean, I've heard some things, some whispers, if you will. I really can't share a lot. But, you know, we have Max over at, or not Max, Ali over at Outsiders, who promised that he's doing the renderings for the Lion King land, which a lot of people still believe is just a rumor and it's not happening. It is happening. It 100% is. And so we will have the first look into what that will be like. I believe in the maybe next weeks. Maybe
we'll soon see.
Yeah. And so that's happening.
The only other thing I've got is, and I don't know, I mean, this is just random people that I speak to that happen to live nearby and kind of interact with Disneyland Paris and they're mega fans. Mm-hmm. They're not staff or anything, but apparently Electroland as an idea is not dead, but it's not coming back to the studios in the way that it did. So you remember Electroland was like a DJ set against the backdrop of the tower.
Yeah.
The music portion of it, as I understand it, might be returning, but in the arena as like a mini like music festival.
Okay.
So they quite like
show arena?
No, the events arena.
Oh wow, okay. So over at Disney Village.
Over at Disney Village, they're looking at that to use it for like a techno weekend. And do you remember they done the jazz festival and stuff?
Can't say I do, no.
Well, you can Google it if you want, but yeah. So they've had music and stuff, and apparently they're going to look at doing things like that and like a country weekend, okay. And you know, and it wouldn't necessarily be in the park; it would just be in the music arena, and would be a sort of like cowboy, you know, like Western weekend and techno weekend, and so they're looking at how to make use of that. Which again surprised me because I was convinced they were going to tear the damn thing down and just build a hotel.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Interesting. That's cool.
Again,
you mentioned the events arena. I think it was today or yesterday, the Run Disney over at Epcot, the half marathon. And they've released the schedules for the next 2 years. So until 2025, like the first half. And nothing about Disneyland Paris, which is sad because
that doesn't surprise me though, because we've done D23 and we've done the D23 showcase and we've done the end of year financials and everything, and Disney now announced nothing for Disneyland Paris, only for about 3 weeks later for Disneyland Paris then to just send out its own thing and do its own thing. For whatever reason, Disneyland Paris seems incapable, completely incapable of syncing up with Disney-wide announcements. Incapable.
That's a good point.
So, I mean, you're not telling me they announced, literally, the D23 showcase, they announced nothing for Disneyland Paris, and then literally 3 days later, it was 72 hours later, Disneyland Paris put out the electric drone show, the Symphony in the Sky, and announced it 72 hours later.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Are you telling me nobody in, you know, like global Disney was aware they were going to have a brand new show that they could have announced? Like,
yeah, it's completely crazy.
I mean, it strikes me as like someone said, right, announce nothing for 72 hours because we're doing, you know, D23 Expo or D23 Showcase or whatever it was called. So they were like, okay, don't announce anything. They never thought, maybe we should announce it at it. Like, it's the equivalent of, like, them going out and doing, you know when they do Tuesday and they announce everything that's come to Disney Plus.
Yeah.
It's the equivalent of waiting till that day's done and then 3 days later being like, oh yeah, and we've got another Star Wars show coming.
Yeah, I don't know how it works and why it works that way. So just, when was the last run? Do you know when was the last run Disney over at Paris
did,
was?
Did they not only do two?
I don't know. I ran once.
I'm not a runner, so there's zero chance.
I'm neither. But I did run five kilometers. It was in 2018, which was a Marvel themed. I really enjoyed it.
Oh my god! They've done so many.
Yeah.
Who knew? So actually, they've done 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2020, and then that's it, I think.
And then the pandemic happened and nothing more.
The pandemic happened and then... Oh, well, actually, 2020 didn't happen.
Oh, it was cancelled.
It was cancelled, so...
Okay.
But here's the interesting thing. So in 2016, the Disneyland Paris Half Marathon was run with 15,000 people for the inaugural one. Then in 2017, it was also in September, they had the Disneyland Paris Half Marathon, and 20,030 people, like they've clarified, 20,030 people ran, and it was magic themed. 2018, it was renamed the Disneyland Paris Magic Run. Again, same weekend, or the same days, it was 26,000 people, so significantly more took place. And then the Disneyland Paris Run Weekend was held in 2019, where it got rebranded again, and had 27,000 people with an adventure theme. And then they created the Disneyland Paris Run Weekend 2020, which was going to be 1 week later than all the previous ones. I don't know what the theme was going to be, but there was 30,000 people signed up, so it was getting more popular rather than.
Yeah, that's it. And they're holding the cast member runs as well. Quite often.
I mean, these are serious. I mean, look at this. The winner of 2016, 17, 18 was Paula Radcliffe, who I mean wins like the Olympic half marathons, and then Julie Bernard from France. It's kind of incredible that these are actually serious athletes that come to like run in Disneyland Paris.
And there's me running for the 5 kilometers for the Thanos.
you're quite right. So, yeah.
So I don't get it. They were getting more popular. A lot of people were coming. Interesting people were coming and running. Yeah. And they just cancelled one because, well, pandemic happened.
Yeah.
And then nothing more. It's just sad because it was a really fun atmosphere and I hate running, but it was a fun atmosphere.
It was in September, so it doesn't clash with anything either.
Yeah, exactly. I really don't get it.
It seems like late September is a dead time in the parks anyway.
That's it. It's the perfect date. It brings a lot of people to the parks. It's a really fun, you know, event.
And this year, you can see there's just been madness this year. Like, if we genuinely are not going to get Disney Dreams of Christmas, which I'm still convinced they're going to surprise us with in a random Tuesday announcement. they cancelled the Halloween party. They didn't cancel. They moved the fireworks show that used to be separate. And there's no New Year's party this year, so they've cancelled. Like again, it's like everything that was kind of extra,
special, ticketed events,
Now I did know they had huge staffing issues with it. Like they really struggled to staff these events, especially the Halloween party.
Yeah.
So I don't know
They did have a Halloween party. Just it was exclusive to the annual passes.
Yeah.
So the party's still there. They're just not accessible.
Did it go on past midnight, though?
Yeah, it was until 2 a.m.
So it's the same. So I can't understand why it'd be any...
And the Christmas one is as well, which is happening in... Well, I'll be there. I think it's the 30th of November. So it's also going up until 2 a.m.
So it's not a staffing issue, clearly.
I don't know what's happening. I really don't.
It's a weird time since the pandemic. I understand why we didn't do it in the pandemic. I understand why we didn't do it in 2021. I kind of understand 2022 because, you know,
but they did have parties in 2022.
No, but what I mean is I can understand 2022 for not wanting to run Disney or anything, because these things take years to plan. Yeah. Like, it's not... We always imagine, like, we should do it, and then in a month we'll just do it anyway, but Disney do take 2 or 3 years to plan this stuff. Like, the drone show we're going to see in January is probably the first time something's actually had some time to get planned. Like, and you can tell, because when we done Dream and Shine Brighter, it was very high caliber. And you can tell that someone spent some time designing that show.
Yep.
Dan in the chat says that Run Disney is being slowly brought back to different resorts around the world.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if they've released a schedule until 2025, that's not slowly. That's been like 5 years since the last, not five, 6 years since
and
the last.
It's not that hard to organize a run, is it? Especially if you consider it's the Olympics next year as well in Paris.
Exactly, come on, it's literally on theme.
Yeah, it's literally like the right theme for the... They just do such bonkers stuff. What I did wonder, though, is this drone show that they're creating in January and the little shows that we've been creating. So we've now got a cache of little shows. We've got the Avengers Power of the Night. We've now got the drone show that they've done at New Year. You've got the drone show they do.
The Bastille Day?
The Bastille Day, the fireworks drone show. Mm-hmm. You've got the D-Light drone show in its two evolutions. Yep. You've got... there was another one as well. I can't remember what it was. But anyway, you've got a bunch of drone shows. And I've wondered if they're building this little cache of drone shows up so that you could have a different drone show. Like, remember we spoke about how Disneyland in California had weekend fireworks, then weekday fireworks, and sometimes they'd switch, like, during holidays they'd do one day and then one the other day, and then, you know, and it made people want to come back. It made me wonder if the drone shows for Disneyland Paris aren't going to be that sort of...
Ooh, that's a good point.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you could have, you know, like, on a Monday you get the Main Street Electrical Parade, and then on Tuesday you maybe get Fantillusion, and then on Wednesday you maybe get the D-Light Show, and then on a Thursday you get, you know, like, they might come up with something that...
Yeah.
Because the thing is, if you go to see Dreams each night, if you're there in a five-day, four-night break, you're watching the same show four times. Like, that gets a little bit repetitive. So, if they want to keep you in the park and keep you spending money in the park until late at night,
Yeah, having a different drone show, it will be the same costs, but just different experience. Yeah, that's pretty smart.
I mean, I have no rumor on that, so nobody go out and rumor that.
Yeah.
It seems that they're going to have a cache of shows that they could then run to and be like, this is a different show to, you know, what have
like
they doing.
That. Yeah, yeah.
And then obviously they must be working on the Dreams replacement or Dreams 3 or Dreams 6 or Dreams whatever. So that, and this will be the, you know, it's going to be a castle projection with fire, with water, with fireworks, with projections, and then finally integrated drones into that show.
Yep.
So they have to be working on that. There's no way we're getting one-off shows at New Year and fireworks, but not getting...
Yeah, Power of Night. Power of Night was the real first test with both fireworks and drones, and that's definitely happening over at Disneyland Park as well. The problem though is that drones require specific, you know, weather. Words are just not coming to head. They can't go in inclement weather. That's it.
No.
So,
but then they've not been able to do that, and I don't. They've only cancelled something like. Did they not say that 96% of all scheduled shows went ahead?
That's a pretty big number. I'm not sure about that. But either way,
I think the drones are about 96% successful.
Well, okay, so that's a pretty impressive number.
Although, I wonder if that's maybe just a specific drone show. I can't remember. It was a lot, though. It was a lot higher, because I thought the drones got cancelled a lot more often than they apparently do.
Exactly.
Well, because they still run them when it rains.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's just really really bad rain or really bad wind.
High wind, yeah.
Yeah, what I do think is that they shouldn't focus on the drones as the main part of the show. I think the drones should be a plus, you know?
Well, we've seen that. When they do it at New Year and when they do it during Bastille, they were phenomenal as additional sort of...
That's it, exactly. If you have the Power of the Night, for example, without drones, it's just sad. If you had the Bastille Day fireworks without drones, it would still be pretty impressive.
Now imagine we had an actual light parade, like an actual, you know, full-on night parade that came powering out the Main Street and shot up towards Fantasyland, or came from Fantasyland, powered its way to Main Street. But then also, you know, there was maybe like obviously when it's in Fantasyland, the drone show could pop up, there could be a drone show that pops up in the hub so that people in, you know, the hub have something to look at. And then obviously once it goes past again, it could pop up. Like, I just think that this drone show thing could be added to the originals and just made to be so incredible. Because remember, drone show requires so few staff. Like, there's unlike a parade, a drone show is like, oh yeah, we've got a couple of guys and a girl to run the show. We don't, like, you don't need anybody to do crowd control because it's literally above your head. So we have much opportunity.
Yeah, drones really do bring a lot of incredible stuff. So I think drones will play a big part in the next show that eventually will arrive.
Yeah. Oh, well, that is probably all I've got, unless you have anything else.
No, that's good for me, yeah.
Well, thank you very much, everybody, for joining us on yet another episode. And it has been a lot longer than I thought it was going to be this time. Yet another episode of the Disney Discord podcast that's now been going for an hour and 15 minutes, which is pretty incredible.
Yes.
And, you know, get your questions in and tell us what you want to hear in the next one. Now, obviously, as we're putting this out, it is Sunday the 5th of November just now, 7:15 as I record this. I guarantee you, that on about Tuesday or Wednesday, Disney will announce some incredible new news that will make this look as though we've completely missed the point. So please do not complain that we've not covered whatever Disney have not announced to us yet, but are sure to announce in the next 72 hours. Because I think they listen to the podcast and think, right, they've put it out.
Yeah, like, they talked about this, come on, let's go, upload.
Upload, go. Yeah. So we've just spoke about Run Disney, they'll probably announce it on Tuesday. Right. Thank you very much, everybody. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Yes, thank you very much. See you next one.
Bye-bye.